Today is Tuesday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast is brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is an app that allows you to compete in player versus player daily fantasy sports contests. If you use the promo code BBALL, that's B-B-A-L-L, you get a free $25 at sign up just for listening to this podcast. That's No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, let's get started here. Daniel Green, welcome back to the podcast.
Dude, thanks for having me. It's good to be back. I'm glad you're okay. We missed you yesterday, I'm telling you. The show was not the same without you.
I listened to it. It was much better, I thought.
Oh, it was horrendous, I'm not going to lie.
I'm glad that you hosted yesterday. I hope everybody goes and checks that out if they haven't already. You can hear Daniel's sweet voice broadcasting, and along with Tyler, who was excellent as well. So tonight, Daniel and I are going to be talking some fantasy basketball. Daniel, is there anything we need to talk about before we get started?
Mark, I mean, it's just been a crazy day. I'm going to give you a couple different options because I have so many things to get off my chest and that I want to discuss. And it may not all be appropriate for the show. So,
well, in fairness to you, you shared this list with me before we started, and I told you can only talk about one of them.
I know. I mean, it's amazing, guys, how much Mark limits me on the show. My potential is so great, yet I am limited on what I can talk about.
It's so weird that I would like to want to talk about fantasy basketball on the Fantasy Basketball Podcast.
Like, I'm like, enough of this basketball. So, all right, here are your choices. We can talk a little Justin Bieber and his new song. We can talk about Urban Outfitters. And I'm jonesing for a girl that works there. And, like, you know, I'm at the point, like, all of you guys know listening, there's a fine line between where, you know, you're like wooing a girl, you're being romantic, and then you're crossing over into the stalkerish.
Did you show her your record player that you bought there?
I mean, I did mention that.
Is that why you bought your record player? Were you not being truthful after the last time?
Is that your options? Are you choosing the Urban Outfitter story?
Well, if the other option is Justin Bieber, I choose the
It's Justin Bieber. Senior.
One option is Justin Bieber. I am always going to choose the other option.
All right, so there's three options. Justin Bieber, the Urban Outfitters, and then why is everyone a senior NBA writer?
There's nothing to discuss there. So let's talk briefly about Urban Outfitters, and then talk about anybody else. If anybody is still listening at that point, we'll talk about fantasy basketball.
Right. The tomorrow show, Justin Bieber, for you guys. Just if you want to listen to Justin Bieber, maybe tomorrow show. So Urban Outfitters, man. As we discussed, a few shows back. You know what Urban Outfitters is. You're familiar with the store.
I logged on and saw a bunch of people that looked like Adam Morrison modeling clothes.
Yeah, it is. So it's like, as you know, it's like an urban, trendy, hipster kind of store.
It's not really my thing. I get the vibe. I think if I walked in there, people would look at me the same way that I'm looking at the people on this website.
No, I don't think so. You see all kinds of weird creatures in that store, especially like it's in Soho in New York City. So it's a really weird location and all kinds of weird stuff going on.
I feel like one of the models is Adam Morrison and maybe the other one is Joakim Noah.
He does need a job, Adam Morrison, right? So, I mean, it wouldn't be that.
I'm not kidding. I think this dude is Adam Morrison. He's got long hair and like a pedophile type mustache.
Dude, are you going to let me tell my story or are you just going to go ahead? Again, you're trying to get basketball into the show, Adam Morrison. All right, so I'm Jones. So, like, I'd say about – anyway, so I go to this Urban Outfitters, like, almost every day because there's a PetSmart right next to it. And I have a dog. I take my dog into the PetSmart, and then we walk into Urban Outfitters. And about, like 7-8 months ago, there was this girl working there, like angelic, just, like, gorgeous, like, just the girl of your dreams, Mark, if you weren't married. You know, the girl you see and your heart kind of drops a little bit like that fine. So anyway, I really didn't make a move. I'm like, whatever, you know, for a while. Plus I was dating someone for a while then that ended. And then, you know, and then suddenly I'm like, you know what? It's time for me to kind of start flirting with her. So she works in like the men's section. I would go down there, I would, you know, flirt a little bit with her, you know, kind of see where things are at. And anyway, I did buy a record player from there. I'm not going to lie. I am buying more things in that store. And like, I think it is because of, I do keep going to the store like because of her, right? Not only because it's next to PetSmart, which is convenient for me, but it really just gives me an excuse to talk to her.
That's really convenient for Urban Outfitters that the, The woman who works in their men's department is attractive and is getting men to come in there more often.
I mean, come on, let's be honest. That's what these stores do, right? So anyway, so I got to make this brief. So finally, one day I go in and my game is just smoking. Like everything I'm saying is working. She's laughing. She's eating it up. But it's hard. It's like,
Hold on. Salesperson at a clothing store who works on commission was laughing at your jokes.
Yeah, man. It was
All right, keep going.
Mark, it was on. I was smoking. I mean, it was like Kobe's 81-point game. Like, I was saying something. And you can tell when a girl is just laughing, you know, laugh to get a commission or a sale or whatever. Or just, like, she's feeling you. Like, something was working that day. I was wearing, like, a super fly hat. It could have been my hat. Who knows?
Oh, no. You wear hats to department stores?
I mean, occasionally, man. It's not really a department store. It's, like, you know, Urban Outfitters.
Is it anyway, what sort of hat are we talking about here? What are we dealing with?
It was like a winter hat.
But like, okay.
Yeah, like a winter hat.
It's not like a top hat or like
No.
Or like one of those things that
I can't pull a top hat off. I look foolish in those. But it has an MTV logo on it. But anyway, it's fly. I'll send you a photo after the show. Maybe I'll send you a hat if I can get one. Anyway. Everything's working. I'm vibing with her. I'm like, I got to go for the digits. Now's my time to pounce. But then there's people everywhere. So I'm like, frick. You know what? It just didn't work out. I couldn't ask. Like, it got busy. But I'm like, next time I'll ask the number. Then I go outside with my dog. I'm thinking, you know, I'm talking to my dog. I'm like, that went really pretty well. What, right? He's like, yeah, totally. So then as I'm getting ready to leave, she comes out. She smokes, which is not the best thing in the world, but whatever. She's taking like a cigarette break. So I'm like, this is like how perfect is this? Right? This is like fate. Anyway, so then we continue talking, and then I'm like, you know, we should hang out. And she's like smiled ear to ear. So I'm like, for sure this is gonna work, right?
Mm-hmm. But
then this is where the mistake I made, a rookie mistake. She pulls out her phone and says, all right, let me get your number.
Uh-oh.
So I give her my number, and then, you know, then we kind of went on our way, and then we said, you know, we'll hang out soon, and then we kind of went on our way. She went one way, I went the other. And then I realized, oh my God, I don't have her number. Now I'm completely dependent on her to, you know, text me or whatever. Like, why wouldn't I be the one being like, no, let me get your number, right?
Yeah.
So now I
thought that's how it worked. I haven't been in the dating field for a few years, but.
Anyway, Mark, now it's been 2 days. No text. See what I'm saying?
That doesn't sound promising.
I gave her the wrong number. I mean, or she took it down wrong. I mean, or maybe like, yeah, but anyway, it's been rough, a rough couple days, Mark.
This seems like sort of a loser move, but wouldn't the right move there be to take her phone, say, hey, let me just type it in for you and then hit call and end really quickly. So that it processes and goes to your phone so that you have her number?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, what I should have done, I just sort of said, oh, you know, let me get your number. It'd be easier. I should have just been more forward. But I was just so giddy and excited that, like, you know, girl who I've kind of have been vibing with and wanted, you know, crushing on for so long, I finally got the number, even though I didn't really get the number. Damn it. Darn it, I should say. So.
I'll tell you what, Daniel, I don't think this girl's the right one for you.
I'm telling you, I haven't slept in 2 days, Mark. I don't know. I mean, like, in my mind.
You better go buy another record player. She might.
Yes. So this is the thing, though. So tomorrow, I got to go back to the store, right? And be like, and, you know, kind of like.
I think she's conning you, though.
No, I'm telling you. Man. No,
she's trying to get money out of you.
No, but like, first of all, I never buy really anything in that men's department. So she's not making any money off me. So.
You bought like a $400 record player.
First of all, not $400. And that was like not in the men's department. So she doesn't get a dime of that commission. And I don't even think they are on commission.
All right. Let's try to get this thing back on the rails. Go buy your new hat or whatever that you need to.
All right. Before we get back to basketball, which I'm actually excited to talk about now because I'm very just heartbroken over this. That was a pretty good story, right?
It was definitely a story.
Man, you're harsh. All right. Go ahead. Basketball.
No, I hope it works out between you and her. I'm worried as your friend. We're friends, right?
Yeah, we know. Yeah. Yes, we are friends.
Yeah, as your friend, that you might be getting your hopes up, and I'm looking at this more objectively as this girl who is basically who flirts with men for a living is flirting with you, and you think that it's different.
All right, let's move on.
I just don't want you to get your heart broken. I watch DFS break your heart. I don't want to watch a girl break your heart too.
DFS. Let me tell you something. If you start for Portland, Mr. Frazier, you play the first 24 minutes of the game and he still like had like 4 DraftKings points. It was amazing. Anyway.
Yeah, let's bring us to that's a good place to start. Damian Lillard, who has played every game of his NBA career.
253 games, I think.
He's a gamer. We've always talked about that. And CJ McCollum, who has not always been a gamer, but he and Damian Lillard both sat out on Monday night against the Atlanta Hawks. McCollum was out with an ankle injury that he suffered at the end of his previous game. McCollum was out with a foot injury.
Mark. What you said? Why was Lillard out?
He's got a foot injury.
Oh, so he actually has plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, I saw that, and I didn't want to report that until I feel like it's been confirmed, because that's a pretty serious injury.
So you don't think that hasn't?
Some reports of that, and I've seen some reports that say it's just a foot. So,
all right,
I don't want to call it. It's sort of like that thing where you see the injury could be really bad, and you don't want to call out that thing until it's for sure.
Don't you think we should at least say like that's potentially out there, because that, like you said, like that's serious, and like that's
serious. And the only way to heal from that is to rest.
The only thing you can do is rest.
Here's what I would say that you can read into from this situation. We should get more data. We should get more news out at some point. But Damian Lillard has played every single game of his NBA career, right?
Yep.
He wasn't a game time decision here. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to give it a go, which he's done several times. Like he busted off his fingernail and he was like, oh, I'm going to play. Like this isn't a ticky tack injury. This is something where he was ruled out well in advance of the game. And there was no question about whether he was or wasn't going to play. He wasn't questionable. He was just out. So that doesn't make me feel like he's going to be back immediately. You know, it's just a one night nagging injury or rest or some of the other things that we see guys sit out. Damian Lillard has proved that he plays through all those things. So I am worried. Don't get me wrong. Excuse me. Lillard said his injury is not particularly worrisome. So I don't know what to tell you. Like if anybody's going to play through this injury, it's going to be him, right?
Yeah.
Like, but at the same time, I'm a little bit worried about what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm worried for a number of reasons, right? Because let's be honest, what does Portland have to play for? Like, are they really going to make the playoffs in the West? No, I don't, you know, I mean, what are they going to battle? I mean, even though right now, maybe they're in the running for the 8th spot. Like, there's no way they're going to make the playoffs. So, like, what's the point? If Lillard really does have plantar fasciitis, like, what's the point in him, you know, going out there and gutting through all these games, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and as we said, like, the only real cure, quote-unquote cure for this is to rest. Like, it's, you know, it's basically, like, if you have it, is walking around with, like, you know, needles or someone stabbing you in the foot. It's also, you know, incredibly painful to kind of play.
There are degrees of this, right? Absolutely. And I think it's possible he has a less, but I know I think you make some great points, and I think you could definitely argue that Portland would be better off. And please understand, we're not suggesting this, or if it does happen, it won't happen probably until later. But if Portland wanted to get a few more lottery balls, it wouldn't hurt their chances if Lillard set out for a few games.
Absolutely. You know, I mean,
which has never been true of this guy before. Like, they've always been playing for seeding or something.
Like something like this. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked, would you? I mean, if they decide to, you know, sit him like a week or two. I mean, it's just.
And, you know, again, I don't think this will happen, but if I'm a Portland fan, that's not a bad scenario, right?
Like, no, not at all. Plus,
it's career debilitating. Like, if he comes back from it, he's going to be the same Damian Lillard. Right. If I can get some more ping pong balls in the Ben Simmons lottery, sign me up.
Absolutely. And not only that, but, like, I want to see some of the – Portland does have some other young talent who, like, you know, could get some shots, get some minutes, and see what else they have on that roster.
Now, unfortunately, a lot of that talent doesn't come at point guard because
– sadly, that is true.
Kim Frazier played 47 minutes and 35 seconds tonight.
That's
which crazy. Is all.
That's crazy.
That's all the time. I don't know what you're so upset about. He had an excellent game. He played that high amount of minutes. He had 12.7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and a block. No, I mean, what did you want out of Tim Frazier?
No, he actually came through. But if you looked at his stats at the half mark, like where he played the first, you know, the whole the first 24 minutes of the, you know, played the entire first half, his stats were atrocious. Like he was not even coming close to hitting minimum salary. And if you played him in DFS, which a lot of people did tonight, including me on a lot of my lineups. So, but you know, second half he came through and put up a nice stat line. But the first half it was ugly. And if you watch the game, you were throwing remotes, you were breaking your, you know, whatever you had, you know, that you could in range to throw. Cause he did not look good, but you got to give Terry Stotts credit, man. he kept him in the game. So
he was literally nobody else to turn to. And the fact that Atlanta almost lost this game is really disappointing to me.
I mean, we could have a debate like who has, if you take Lillard out of the equation, who has worse point guards, Utah or Portland?
Well, I mean, I guess the thing here is, in a normal situation, if Lillard set out, you would have McCollum. He's their backup point guard. He would slide over. I think they did put in either Alan Crabb, who they started on Monday night. He played 32 minutes, had 19 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. So a pretty solid game. So I think they'd either play those two as the backcourt, or they would go ahead and put Gerald Henderson in. So the problem was their 2 point guards were out, and they don't really have a third. Tim Frazier is their third, and they don't have a fourth, which is why Tim Frazier played the whole game.
Which, by the way, is a little silly. Like, come on. Like the guy that never plays, and you play him 48 minutes. Like, I mean, like, Alan Crabb's not a point guard, but he can handle the ball a little bit for a couple minutes. You know? So I thought that was a little bizarre. Anyway.
Kind of crazy. I agree. So I guess my expectation going forward here is we don't know how serious McCollum's injury is. He was probable before the game and then he sat out. So I don't think it's inconceivable he could return soon. And he's been playing great lately. Lillard will probably even though the incentives are sort of stacked the other way, he'll probably gut through and be back soon too. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him sit out like a week or something. To see him sit out like this week and then come back this week. So let's say that situation does come through where McCollum comes back, Lillard is out. I think you could see some big games from McCollum.
I mean, I think McCollum would be a monster, and also Crabb. Like, he's already been playing great, you know, getting consistent, you know, upper 20 minutes, mm-hmm. You know, like with Lillard and McCollum playing. So if Lillard's out for, you know, even if it's only a game or two, if you want to, you know, stream someone, Crabb to me becomes a really enticing play.
Now, but don't you think tonight's performance from Crabb is sort of his – I don't want to say ceiling because there's always randomly like really awesome games, but this is sort of what you can expect from him if he's going to start, don't you think?
Yeah, but I don't think – I think this is like – with a different – the thing – the difference with Crabb, like I think he's got a high floor too, you know? Mm-hmm, so
sure.
I think this is like pretty much what you're going to get. Like I think, you know, he could get – he took 18 shots, which is fantastic. He took the most shots on the team. So yeah,
well –
like, you know,
that's a pretty weak team without Lillard and McCollum.
Oh, it's horrendous. I mean, they have such little talent. I mean, I was shocked Aminu only got 26 minutes tonight, but obviously he's not much of an offensive threat either. I mean, like the one guy that I was hoping who could step up for Portland this year, and you know, and he started for them, then he got hurt. I know you're not a big fan of him. Is Myers Leonard? Like I think this guy's got talent.
No, I like Myers.
But the minutes just have not been there ever since he's come back from the injury. I thought for sure he'd get back to starting. And, you know, Stotts continues to play Noah Vonleh, even though not a lot of minutes, he continues to start him. You know, Myers Leonard, though, is still a guy, like every one of my leagues, he's on my watch list. I'm like very high on my watch list, and I keep waiting for him to get back in that starting lineup. But it hasn't happened yet. And, you know, tonight –
no, but see, this was my deal with Myers Leonard. He can do interesting things on the basketball court. I just wasn't sure he was going to get enough minutes to be relevant. And I think that's what we've seen play out here. So it's not that I don't like his game.
But like, to start the year, though, he was getting like 30 minutes, you know?
Yeah, no question. But my question was whether he could actually sustain those minutes, whether he could hold on to them and play against other teams starting big guys. And I think that's what's holding him back right now.
Yeah, but like who else, like who should play in front of Myers Leonard for Portland?
Like, I mean, I don't have a problem with her. I don't feel like Myers Leonard has earned more minutes than he's getting.
Right, but I'm saying, so who in your opinion though should be playing the extra, if he's getting 20 minutes, who should play the other, you know, whatever, 28?
No, if I'm in, you know, if I'm there at Portland, I don't have a problem with Noah Vonleh starting and getting 15 minutes a game. I think that's probably good for him. He's part of the future there. Mason Plumlee's earned his fair share of minutes, which is probably 26 to 28.
Yeah.
You know, Ed Davis is certainly serviceable. So if Myers Leonard isn't going to get done, there's a lot of bodies back there on the team that.
I mean, to me, like I want to see, you know, and you know, this is from a DFS perspective as well, though, but for season long too, I want to see Myers Leonard or Ed Davis getting those minutes. Like to me, those are the only two viable NBA legitimate.
Oh, you don't like Mason Plumlee?
No, I like Plumlee too. I'm talking about just the power forward position. No, I like Plumlee. I think he's really talented.
Oh, Myers Leonard can't play. I mean,
his passing is really underrated. You know, no, I have nothing wrong with Plumlee starting and getting 28 to 30 whatever minutes.
I'm not sure Myers Leonard can play power forward in the league at this point. I think
what is power forward these days? And we've talked about this, right? It's such an evolving thing. It's not like what it used to be, where you're battling David West in the post.
No, this is my point, though. Is he's a 7-footer that moves slow.
I mean, he can move a little bit,
He can't move laterally with Draymond Green or Carmelo Anthony or Paul George or name any, you know, any fast, even Derek Favors. I'm not sure he can keep up with.
I mean, like you know, he's not the quickest guy on his feet, but he's more athletic than I think you're giving him credit for.
No, like he can do athletic things. I'm just like foot speed, lateral foot speed. I don't think he can. I think he can hold his own against centers for sure. And I think he can jump higher and run faster than a lot of centers, but I don't think in the modern, like the type of basketball we're seeing now, I don't think he can play power forward. I think he has to be a center. I think he has to be the center on the right team that wants to run like a five out. We want our big guy to be able to defend centers and defend the pick and roll a little bit, but we want him to shoot three pointers on the offensive end. I think he could fit that sort of a role, but you know, I don't see, I'm not sure Portland's ready to commit to something like that.
Well, no, because and they shouldn't, because I mean Plumlee is, I think, much more equipped to be a starting center than Myers Leonard right now. So I'm giving you a point for that argument. You won the argument that
you never give yourself points. Should I start giving you points?
No. What do you mean? Occasionally I do, like Alex Burks argument. I gave myself some points that episode.
Okay.
But yeah. Anyway, so again for Portland. If Dame is going to be out for a few games, like to me, if I could pounce on a guy, I'd pounce on Crabb. I think he's going to be the main benefit, besides McCollum, obviously, would be the main beneficiary. So.
Shots, I mean, your leading shot takers probably without Lillard are McCollum a lot. He's like number one on the food chain. And then, yeah, Crabb's probably next. I don't think Plumlee's game is affected by those guys being out, you know? He's going to do his same sort of thing. Although, on Monday night, we saw him get more assists than he usually does. He had 11 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. So sort of a nice game. But
he's really underrated as a passer. I mean, like he's similar to, when I watch him play, he's similar to Joakim Noah in a lot of ways. Except he can actually score. He's not afraid to shoot the ball, you know, when he's 2 feet away from the basket. But like Plumlee actually does have passing skills. He really does.
Right. He's had a couple of 6-assist games in the last few outings, so something interesting to look out for there. All right, let's move on to another lineup change that we saw on Monday night. Chicago. Oh my goodness, did Chicago lose to Brooklyn?
Yep.
I hadn't seen that game go.
Brooklyn was 1-12 on the road, and they went into Chicago and took down Chicago today.
So I think that might mean that this is not a long-term solution here, but the starting lineup that they trotted out was Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose in the backcourt, which is probably to be expected. Pau Gasol and Taj Gibson in the frontcourt, which I don't think is a terrible combination. And then Nikola Mirotic at small forward. Do you have any early thoughts here? What do you think about this line?
I have so many thoughts on the Bulls. Like, anytime I look at the Bulls box score, first thing I look at is how inefficient was Derrick Rose today. Pretty inefficient, 3 for 11.
That's three turnovers.
So, again, Derrick Rose, he just is such a mess to watch or own if you haven't in season, if you haven't season long. So, otherwise, though, man, I don't know. Like, I still don't want to own Mirotić right now. He only got 22 minutes tonight, even though he started. Like, so I'm not
over a very good line, except for his shooting, which has continued to be a problem. But
yeah, you're right.
He got three steals, two blocks. No, I'm actually agreeing with you.
No, but you know, you're right. He does that. He did have this three steals and two blocks, which is, and
he hit a 3-pointer. So it's like he's still teasing us with that potential, right? I mean, that's why we're interested in him, because he can score, he can rebound, he can hit 3-pointers, he can get steals, he can get blocks. Like, he's basically the whole package aside from assists. He doesn't love passing the ball, but otherwise, he does pretty much everything else.
Yeah, I mean, like, the 22 minutes, though, are a big concern for me. And obviously,
that's a huge concern.
And then when you lose to Brooklyn, when you do this lineup change, I mean, how long is this lineup change going to last?
Let's talk about it from a basketball perspective, kind of like we did in Portland. This is an unsustainable lineup. There's no way. First of all, I don't think there's any way. I know Fred Hoiberg's trying a lot of different things. There's no way you can play Pau Gasol and Nikola Mirotić together.
No.
Like, defensively, it doesn't work. And it doesn't help if you make Nikola Mirotić guard small forwards. Like, that's not a better solution.
Also, what no one is really talking about, at least I haven't heard many people talk about this anymore, like, Taj Gibson, the last few years, and he got injured a lot last year, especially towards the second half, but, like, before that, he was, I don't know if he was a lockdown defender, but he was darn close, and he was a monster. Like,
you were so good on the defensive end with Thibodeau.
Yeah, and he was a monster on the offensive glass. I mean, he was just a beast. And, like, he does not look right. Like, I've watched him play so many times this year, and I'm like, who is this guy? He just looks like he has no energy anymore. And he was an energy guy for them. He just doesn't – like, and I'm not – so, again, it's tough to say is he still banged up or what's his deal. But he's – like, he stinks, like, just to put it bluntly. And, like, I don't think you can own him in a season-long league either. Like, I've had him, and I've dropped him twice now already in a bunch of leagues.
Yeah, aside from the four overtime game that they played, which was – he had a good game, but, like, you know, who didn't? This was his best game so far. He had 10 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, which is not typical of his production.
Yeah, this is
– like, and in a block.
For this season, this is a monster Taj Gibson game, which is, like – this would have been one of his worst games, you know, like last year when he started or 2 years ago. So, like, I don't know. Like, the Bulls, like, the one guy who's been playing great, even though defensively he's atrocious in real life, is Pau Gasol. You know, he's been the guy who's, even in limited minutes, has been fantastic lately.
Yeah, you're going to want to own Pau Gasol.
Yeah, the rest of these guys, I don't know what to do with them. If there's one other guy that I would still maybe want to own, it's Joakim Noah. Like, look at tonight, man. 16 minutes and 8 assists. Like, how cool is that? Like, that's crazy.
That's really impressive. And to go along with 8 rebounds.
Yeah. So, but, like, I don't, like, I guess I'm still in a wait and see approach with both Mirotić and, if you want to call Gibson, the wait and see approach. You know, like, I mean, do you agree with that? I mean,
they've got to make a move at some point.
Right. They need a trade.
Nobody needs to trade more than the Bulls do. At some point, Hoiberg's got to be smart enough. He figures out that Gasol and Mirotić can't play big minutes together. It just doesn't work.
Like you said, though, he's tried a lot of different things. I mean, he probably knows that. Like, he doesn't have a lot of options here. You know, like,
I'm not sure he knows that. He doesn't come across as the smartest coach in the league at this point.
But, like, what else can he do? Like their roster is just
started. Joakim Noah, and Nikola Mirotić.
Didn't he do that? Didn't he already do that?
I think they've been really careful. They did one time, but I think they've been really careful with Pau, because they don't want him coming off the bench. And I think it was when Pau was resting.
Why? Because Pau's too sensitive? I mean,
like, I guess that's what they said. Pau seems like the coolest guy in the NBA. So,
doesn't he? Yeah.
And I think he would tear bench players apart. Like, even though he's not necessarily as athletic as he once was, can you imagine if he's going up against the backup center? Like, he would just destroy people.
I mean, dude, he's still destroying, like, starting players. Like,
no,
like,
it's true. It's true.
Like, honestly, like in terms of, like, an offensive skilled big man, like, who's better than Pau Gasol?
That's what I'm saying. So, but you could hide his defensive liabilities by doing that and then accentuate his offensive
Why don't we just have Kobe? Why don't we just have Kobe call, you know, Pau, tell him to be the black swan again, and then, you know, all will be good. Like, go to the bench and become a black swan off the bench.
Yeah. They need a move for sure. Mirotić continues to be intriguing to me, but I get messages every week. Like, can I drop him yet? Can I drop him yet?
I got one today, like, you know, on Mirotić, and I was like,
yeah, I think you can drop him if you know, I don't think many players have the potential he has. Like, I still think he has more upside than a lot of guys, but so I wouldn't drop him just cause you're mad at him. Cause you hate him. Cause you drafted him in the sixth round and you want to like get some revenge. But if you want to drop him because somebody else is out there that's useful, you know, by all means, I think you've waited long enough.
Well, yeah, and especially because you have to remember, like, we've now played over a quarter of the season. So it's not like – so how long do you want to wait? Like, you know, so, like, you can keep –
we played waiting. A third of the season.
Yeah, we played a third. So, like, that's a long time to wait on something. So it's like, dear God, what are you going to do? You're going to wait, like, for half the season? I mean, you know, it's – like you said, he does have upside. The potential is there, but like if you know, you can't waste a roster spot for that long.
Yep, I agree. So, you know, if you can stash him anywhere, I still don't think that's a horrible idea.
Like, I wish he would get injured so I could stash him on my IR.
Yeah, no kidding.
On injured reserve. That's what I wish.
Yeah, that, you know, it would be nice.
I'm giving myself a point for that argument. I don't know what I argued, but I felt right.
I give you a couple points. I would make a couple of tick marks there next to your name.
I'll just do one.
You could maybe like show your Urban Outfitters girlfriend how many points you got on your podcast.
First of all, she's not my girlfriend. That's in my dreams right now. And also, I don't even know if now I don't remember if I mentioned this or not. Like, I just during the show, Mark sent me a photo of the guy who looks like Adam Morrison. First of all, he's much like more attractive than Adam Morrison because Adam Morrison was scary looking with his mustache.
How dare you?
This would be like Adam Morrison's sexier older brother, you know, much more handsome. But yeah, I do totally see the resemblance. Yeah, but like you see the type of hat this guy's rocking in the photo.
Yeah,
that's the kind of hat I was rocking that day.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought it was maybe one of those hats that what do they call them?
Cowboy hats?
Like a brim, but like the top of the hat comes and buttons to the brim.
Oh, God. No way. I wish there was a way we could post on the website that Adam Morrison lookalike photo.
We could probably do it. Well, I'm sure somebody could do it. I don't know if I'm capable of
it. Maybe I'll tweet out a picture of that guy so everyone listening to the podcast can know who we're talking about. Anyway.
All right. Should we talk about one more big lineup change?
Yeah.
And I haven't got a lot of information about what the genesis of this is or how long it's going to last. But in Phoenix, here's the starting lineup. And as everybody played, here's who they started. TJ Warren started. Eric Bledsoe started. John Lohr started. Devin Booker started. And Tyson Chandler started. That means PJ Tucker came off the bench. That means Brandon Knight came off the bench. That means Markieff Morris came off the bench. It means Alex Len came off the bench. What do you think? What do you think's going on in Phoenix?
Well, so Phoenix, you know, reading some of their papers and their online stuff that they've and they're following their beat writers and reporters and all that good stuff. So they've been like their bench has been. They need bench scoring. It's been a big thing for them this year. So that was the reason why they decided to put Knight to the bench to give them some scoring punch off the bench, which I guess somewhat made sense in a weird Hornacek kind of way. And so I wasn't so even when I was reading that Knight might maybe move to the bench, as annoying as it was, I wasn't overly concerned in terms of Knight's production, in terms of his fantasy production. And if you look at tonight, he played the most minutes on the team. And first of all, Phoenix got destroyed. Like, I was watching this game, and Utah, from the jump, from the first quarter, like, just put a hurting on Phoenix. It was embarrassing, quite honestly. So the box score is kind of messed up. But Brandon Knight still played 35 minutes and took 17 shots, the most shots on the team by far. So I'm not overly concerned with Brandon Knight's value. But, like, in terms of, like, what we want to do fantasy-wise – I mean, the one guy who I think I was talking to you about pre-show who I was somewhat excited about starting was TJ Warren, who's got a lot of upside. I'm a big fan of his game. So if he's going to potentially start, that would excite me. But after this game, this one performance, am I willing to pick him up? I'm on the fence. I'm not quite sure. I quite honestly think, you know, Markieff Morris has now becomes interesting as he got 21 minutes tonight. So again, I know like Phoenix now that they need score, they want some scoring off the bench. So Hornacek's, he maybe kind of play with this lineup for a few games to figure out, you know, how they want to go. They started off the season really well. I forgot what their record was the first like 10 or 10, 15 games. And then it was just, they've been in a free fall. So I understand why Hornacek kind of mixed things up here, but
This looks like bad news to me.
Yeah.
This is all bad news. I mean, like you said, Brandon Knight still played his 35 minutes. He got 26 points, which is great. TJ Warren played 21 minutes, had 9 points, three rebounds. That's not something you can do anything with. John Lohr only played 15 minutes.
And that pissed me off too, because Lohr, like, he's been playing really well. And actually, yeah. I picked him up in a bunch of leagues.
Yeah. Devin Booker only played 12 minutes as a starter. Tyson Chandler only played 17 minutes as a starter, had 1 point. This is going to start to feel like if Hornacek is going to do like the Brad Stevens thing where everybody is interchangeable and we can play whoever we want and nobody's reliable, you're kind of getting to the point where there's a lot of intriguing players, right? Like Devin Booker's intriguing and Laura's intriguing and TJ Warren and Markieff Morris, all these guys like in the right situation. Len and Chandler are, you know, guys that if they were getting 30 minutes, you would probably pick up all of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's a difference between, like, you know, how we talked about Portland and their bench, how they really don't have a lot of depth, they do a lot of talent. And the same thing, actually same thing kind of with Chicago. You look at Phoenix, though, if some of these guys got minutes, man, like you said, there's a lot of guys who could be potentially you'd want to grab.
I'd pick up any of those six guys if I knew they were going to get 30 minutes. But yeah, the problem is you're not going to be able to pick up any of them. You're going to be in this place where only Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe are guys you would really want to own.
So based off of this one game, are you willing to take a flyer on any of them? TJ Warren or no?
Not based off this game.
If I told you, you know, if I have to pick, if I told you this is going to be a starting lineup for a few games, even though, and again, I'm telling you, like, Utah destroyed them. So, like, the box score.
The blowout thing is the thing I'm trying to pick apart.
Yeah, with minutes, it's tough to understand if this is really how relevant this is going to be going forward. But, like, do you agree that TJ Warren, you're excited about his upside or not really? Are you
No. Like I said, I think I'm not convinced he's going to get the minutes. If I knew he was going to get the minutes, I'd be, you know, all for it. I'm happy to see Markieff Morris back in the lineup. Like, I think he could do some interesting things, and he's probably the most fantasy-friendly guy there.
Yep.
Although he's kind of got a downward arrow on his name because he's done less good than he was expected to do. But still, like, if we're looking, would you rather have TJ Warren or Markieff Morris? I guess I'd probably still rather have Markieff Morris.
Yeah, that's tough.
Booker is interesting to me, although I don't see how they're going to start him on a team that has Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe. It doesn't seem to make sense that he would be able to get enough minutes. So that's sort of blocked. And the centers, I don't think are ever going to, like, Chandler and Len are never going to play. I think I'd cross them off now. I'm crossing Booker off because I don't think he's going to get the playing time. So I think to me, I think upside wise, I think it's down to Morris and TJ Warren. I think those are the two guys I'm most interested
in. And John Lohr, have you reached the point where you're fine adding him?
Yeah, I think he is what he is. I don't think he's ever going to be a top, I don't know what, 100 guy. I think he's going to be, the last 2 weeks, he's averaged 25 minutes, 12 points, 7 rebounds, and a steal. Not much in the assists, not much in the blocks department. He gets a 3 every once in a while. I don't think there's any ceiling beyond that. Like, I think he's a hustle guy and that's what he's going to be good at. And, you know, if you can use that as sort of like a streamer option in a head-to-head league, I'm good with that. I'm still at the point of the season where I want higher upside guys.
Yeah.
So I'm not real excited about adding John Lohr long-term, but as a fill-in guy, like at the end of the week, if he's got a back-to-back on Saturday, Sunday, and I need 10 extra rebounds to win the game or to win my week, I don't think there's a lot of better options on your waiver wire than John Lohr.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I did pick him up in one of my leagues. He's been doing well for me. So, you know, he's obviously one of my last guys on my roster, but still he's been viable and useful and helped me.
Yeah, totally
Helped me.
agree.
So, but yeah, but Phoenix, I mean, again, if there's one team you want to kind of monitor the most, you know, with all this, with all the different news today, it would be Phoenix, and to see what Hornacek is going to do going forward. There's a lot of intriguing
Yeah.
guys in play here. So,
I guess to wrap it up, if Morris and TJ Warren were sitting on my waiver wire and I was like, I want to gamble on one of these guys. I want to drop John Lohr or whatever. I want to take a risk on one of these guys. I think I would go with Warren because I think Hornacek likes him a lot better. Hornacek likes him a lot better.
well, I mean, we know. Well, that's the problem, right? We know Hornacek like hates Markieff Morris.
Yeah.
They're
And
basically,
deservedly so.
right? Yeah, I guess. So,
He's been kind of a jerk. And I also don't blame Markieff in the whole situation because his twin brother got traded, but he's been a jerk since his brother got traded. And what's Hornacek supposed to do?
we do like a whole podcast on that. Like, what's the deal with like you have to play with like your brother or twin brother, like, you know, like the Goran and Zoran.
The
First of
thing
all,
is that they
we have
signed a
kids.
joint contract. They signed like a, I know it wasn't legally a joint contract, but they basically negotiated their contracts together. Phoenix promised them a pool of money and told them that they could split it however they needed to split it.
Is that really true?
Yeah, that's really true. So for them to come in at that point and trade one of them, I thought was not great.
First of all, like, how about, first of all, why did I not know that? And secondly, how stupid was Phoenix to do that? Like, that's, you don't do that. Like, business-wise, like, you know the NBA. Why would you do something like that? Like,
Because they wanted, that's how they wanted to do it. That's how the Morris brothers wanted to do it.
well, that's nice. I also, you know, like to go to Candyland. Like, well, this, you know, like, that's not how business works. That's not how NBA works.
Well, that's how they got it to do. They basically went in and they negotiated a deal for both of them. And then, you know, Phoenix says, we'll pay you guys both this much money. I think it was, what was it, 80 million or 60 million over the course of their contract.
First of all, yeah, as an attorney, like, I would like to see how that contract looks,
No,
like,
no, no. So
or just like
that's how the negotiation went.
wait,
And then the
so
contracts.
basically Phoenix like had, Phoenix took like a duff, like, I'm thinking like they have to go suitcase, just put a bunch of money in there. So here you go, Markieff and Marcus, here's some money. You guys
Well,
are
they
gonna.
left it up to them, and then they decided. So Markieff and Marcus Morris decided, and then that's the individual contracts that they signed. So they did each sign an individual contract, but it was within this whole arrangement of signing like this is a package deal.
All right, but now one of them is traded to Detroit, correct?
So now, yeah.
So how does
So
that work?
they're honoring the individual contract to Marcus Morris. And Phoenix is honoring the contract to Markieff Morris.
But there's
But at
no,
the
like.
time, Markieff Morris took a big discount so that his brother could get paid more.
Interesting. We could do a whole show on this. This is fascinating. Like, dear God.
Yeah. So
All
how
right,
would
so
you
you know
feel
what? All right.
if you took a discount at your job so that
All
your
right.
brother could get a job and then they shipped your brother out?
All right, knowing all of this, I now am siding more with Markieff and why he would be so disgruntled. Because
Yeah.
at first it annoyed the hell out of me. Why, you know, I'm like, come on, man, like let's move on with your life and let's play some basketball. Like, what are you doing? But yeah, that would be frustrating to say the least.
Yeah,
So.
I'll look up the story and send it to you, or if any of the listeners can remember, can find a link. But yeah, that was a pretty widely reported story at the
Yeah,
time.
I don't know how in the world I would have missed something like that. Like, that's, I'm giving you another point because that was very educational, quite honestly. But yeah, so like getting back to like TJ Warren versus Markieff, though, like, man, like Markieff, I think is just, if he, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do here, Mark. Like, I love Markieff. I actually still, I in one of my leagues where I'm like, I know the other 11 teams, hopefully they're not listening to the podcast, they basically stink. So I basically, I'm, you know, I win every year or make the playoffs, you know, every year. I have stashed Markieff because, like, the dude's talent, like, when he plays minutes, is just, he's a, you know, very, he's a fantasy friendly player. Like, even today, it's six rebounds, four assists, and
Yeah, well, I
one
like him a
rebound.
lot.
So,
I haven't dropped him in every single league,
yeah,
so.
so I like, and again, like,
But
Phoenix.
I am hoping he gets traded.
Well, I don't know. Like, it's traded, or Phoenix has been really struggling. They need someone to score off the bench, and like Markieff would be a perfect person for that. If they're looking for, you know, some scoring, you know, oomph off the bench, like, first of all, Markieff should be starting, but whatever. If he's going to come off the bench and play 26 to 28 minutes, I think then he becomes fantasy worthy to pick up in a league. So it's again, it's an interesting situation. I guess like, so like if you, between Markieff and TJ Warren right now, if you had to go one, you would go TJ? Just cause
yeah, I think so. Just because of, no, if I knew they were going to get the same amount of minutes, I'd go Markieff. But I think Hornacek likes TJ Warren enough that, or I mean, dislikes Markieff Morris enough at this point. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd go TJ as well, but I would do it, you know, and as I would press submit on the TJ Warren waiver claim or whatever I'm doing, I would do it with a frown because I really would rather have Markieff. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I hope Markieff gets traded, and we just got to wait and see. But it makes sense on first of all, it does make sense on all fronts for Hornacek to play Markieff, because if they want to trade Markieff, they need to get some leverage. The only way they're going to get leverage is having Markieff look good on the basketball court.
I agree.
So
I hope he goes to Detroit. I hope they can reunite.
I'm telling you, I think we mentioned that, right? Marcus at the three, Markieff at the four. Be fantastic.
Yeah.
Although Ersan's been playing a lot better for Detroit at the four, so.
All right, Daniel, let's wrap this. I almost called you Kyle. Sorry about that.
Dude, that must be a good sign. That must be like the flow that we have going on today's show is so fantastic. You just, you know, it's, you know, you fell back into the you and Kyle shows.
I'm glad you took that as a compliment.
I did.
I've
given myself a point for that.
Yeah, absolutely. if that will help with your Urban Outfitters girlfriend, you know, feel free to use
not bring that up. I brought it out. I wanted to, like, you know, be like cathartic, have some therapy on the air. So I didn't want you to keep bringing it up. Now my heart is broken.
All right, let's do it. let's do a little no halftime discussion, and then we'll wrap up our podcast.
Do it.
So we talked about a bunch of players. Are there any that you feel like we could take advantage of in a no halftime sort of a format?
I mean, today, if you like, especially if you play DFS, or
I'm feeling like the Portland situation is where I'm wanting to go.
That's what I mean. If you play like DFS or like just some type of daily fantasy game like no halftime, today's a perfect day for you to take advantage. And when coaches start tinkering with lineups, because you're ahead of the game, you know which guys are going to get minutes for the most part. So Portland is a, you know, a team with some players.
Basically, I'm looking for who starts on Portland next game. When's their next game? Portland. I'm looking for their next game. I'm looking at the starting lineup before the game tips, or, you know, as we get word, like, is CJ McCollum going to play? It looks like they play on Wednesday night versus the Pelicans. I'm looking to see who they're playing. And the Pelicans, I think, give up like the most points to fantasy opposing point guards.
They're atrocious defensively. Yeah.
So if I can get CJ McCollum, oh my goodness. Who wouldn't you play CJ McCollum against? Like, is there a point guard in the league that if CJ McCollum was there and Dame was out and they're going against New Orleans, is there anybody in no halftime you wouldn't play against CJ McCollum?
Yeah.
Who? Who would you say no to? Like, if I'm giving you CJ McCollum,
I think CJ, CJ McCollum would be a legitimate challenge for him versus any point guard that day if Dame Lillard's out. But one guy who I would like to battle you with is my boy who had like 19 assists today. You know who I'm talking about?
John Wall.
That's correct, my friends. John Wall, who without Bradley Beal, his usage rate is close to 30%. God forbid he could make some jumpers, but he's been like playing out of his mind. Washington, they've actually tweaked their starting lineup too. I think John Wall would take down CJ McCollum.
I think he probably would too. I probably wouldn't take – I'm just trying to get like a sense for our listeners. Like, who could we suggest they play?
Oh, like a challenge they could play? So like
– Yeah. Sorry, I took this a little different direction.
No, that's all right. I'm with you. I'm with you. I can adapt on the fly. How about someone like Isaiah Thomas?
Would you play him against Russell Westbrook? I think that's probably still too high. Wall, Westbrook, Curry, I wouldn't play him against.
What about like Isaiah Thomas?
Well, see, I feel like Isaiah Thomas is a little underrated in the DFS community too, or in the no halftime community, I should say.
Elfrid Payton, who got injured today.
I'm looking for somebody who has more name value than they are good. Like, what if you did
Tony Parker?
Yeah. Yeah. Tony Parker, Darren Williams, Mike Conley.
Darren Williams has been sneaky good, but Tony Parker is one that I
Kyrie Irving, even though he's not all the way back yet, people might be excited to play Kyrie Irving. You could probably Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, those are the two if you guys want to make some money, if you play McCollum versus Tony Parker or Darren or who else did you just say? Kyrie still scares me. He's so talented, but yeah, but those two guys, man, I'm with you. I think you could win some money with McCollum.
All right, so that's our bet: CJ McCollum versus Kyrie Irving.
No. I'm just kidding. I know you are. For me and you, it's been a long day. It's like 3 a.m. We're taping this. For me and you though, let's do. So, do you want CJ McCollum still?
Or who?
All right, so I'll let you choose either. If we did CJ McCollum, well, also this could change if Dame ends up playing.
It really could.
So for me and you, let's not do CJ McCollum. But let's stick with a point guard.
Okay.
John Wall. And I'll give you two guys, and you can pick whichever one you want.
Okay.
John Wall or – this is tough. Chris Paul.
I'll take John Wall. Thank you. Please and thank you.
You know what? I'm going to defeat you. Chris Paul has been silently playing a lot better, getting more minutes. And look at tonight at the half, 18 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists versus OKC. Give me CP3.
You could double that game. You could give him credit that, like, if he plays as well in the second half as he did in the first half, he still wouldn't be as good as John Wall's game tonight.
What we didn't look at, though, is who either of those teams play next.
That's okay. All right, John Wall. So we're doing John Wall versus Chris Paul.
Yep.
But we're recommending you try to take advantage of CJ McCollum versus Lillard is out.
Yeah, take advantage of that Portland situation. And again, use someone with name value, like Mark was saying. Tony Parker, people may still think he's good. Darren Williams, although he has been playing a lot better. Kyrie Irving, you know, guys like that.
Yeah, agreed.
By the way, quickly, let me tell you this. Yeah. So I thought I was going to dominate in no halftime yesterday. Two challenges that I lost with. So I had DeMarcus Cousins versus who was it against? Now I'm going to forget, man. Anyway, whatever. Doesn't even matter who's against. I had DeMarcus Cousins and I had Anthony Davis, and I lost both of those.
Sorry, man.
Thank you. It was a heartbreaking day.
All right. Tell everybody where they can go look at your face on your website.
So you can find my website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. You can also find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Green like the color. There you go. That's it, man.
There you go. All right. Just a little bit of housekeeping. We are going to have only one more show this week due to the holiday Christmas time. So look for a show tomorrow. That will be with Mike Catron from Watch the Boxes. And that will be the final show of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast for this week. Until then, please go enjoy some basketball and have a good time. See you, everyone.